We're doing the Avat Chesed. We are up to the second section, the 22nd chapter. In this chapter, the Chafetz Chaim will discuss the concept of kindness that one can perform in lending one's objects out. In the prior chapters, we had explained the laws of giving monetary loans. And now we will discuss lending your objects. That's also a mitzvah. It also stems from the trait of kindness. As our sages explained in Tractate Sukkah, the Gemara says, Tzedakah b'mamono, u'gemilut chasadim ben begufo ben b'mamono. Tzedakah, charity, you can perform with your money. Gemilut chesed, acts of kindness, that you can perform with your money or with your body. It doesn't have to be with your money. Upirsh Rashi, Rashi explains, Mashilo ma'ot v'kelim u'beima. How do you do kindness? You lend your neighbor your money, you lend your neighbor your tools, you lend your neighbor your animal to work with. So what do you see? Harei de mitzvah la'ashilo. You see that the fulfillment of the mitzvah of kindness is through lending things out. And all the more so, if he can use what you lent him to make some money to stay alive, so then for sure he's performed something great. You're also in fulfillment of what the Torah says. When you see your friend struggling, give him a hand. So that's why I know people who started a gemach of laptops. Because by lending someone a laptop, you could be lending him a parnasa, helping him get on his feet. There are all kinds of tools which a person can use to make a living. And if you lend those tools, gardening tools, sometimes a person has tools to fix things at home. His hammer, his screwdriver. I recommend, just like I do, when I lend something out, give me your two datzahut. People remember. Yeah, the actual two datzahut. This way people remember to bring it back. So people look at me funny that this guy just borrowed a staple, right? And I said, leave me your two datzahut. So he said, I need it for only a minute. I said, fine, so in a minute, you'll get your two datzahut back. No problem. I was sitting in Misrad Apnim. A guy came over to me and said, could I borrow your pen? I said, leave me your two datzahut. I'm very serious. I got my pen back.
No, yeah, right.
I don't want to lose my pen. I need it also on the Misrad Apnim and the rest of the day.
We don't have pens in Misrad Apnim.
So people look at me funny for a second, and then they think to themselves, why not? They realize that, you know, yeah.
We're talking about helping somebody get on their feet. And I understand if it's a stapler or it's a laptop, but where do you draw the line that to lend somebody a pen, I want you to do that. What happens if I'm just saying, like, where do you, is this just right down the line, or because at some point you don't want to put a stumbling block in front of helping him?
So I've discovered, I remember the time that a few years ago someone came and said they're about to be evicted from their apartment and they don't have anything, and they went on and on and on, and we arranged a loan for them to cover their rent that month, and of course the loan never came back. Afterwards he started saying to me, you know, this guy is ridiculous, I'm trying to get a loan from him, and he wants to come and take my plasma TV. And I'm listening to this and I'm saying to myself, I'm a fool. I should have walked over to his house and said, give me collateral. Then maybe I would have gotten something. And worse comes to worse, at least he wouldn't have had the plasma TV playing and destroying his chinuch. So I kicked myself. And ever since then, I don't give loans without collateral. I had a guy last week who emailed that he's on the verge of setting his business straight. He just needs A, B, and C in order to get there. So No. Someone I know. So I respect that. Yeah. I emailed him back. I said, you know what? I have faith that you will get back on your feet and everything, and I agree. I can talk to people about getting a loan, but see among your wife's jewelry and your silverware and your what you have that you could give as collateral. And it'll just be there until you pay back the loan. No loan. Suddenly he didn't want the loan. Why not? You know, he wants me to trust that next month he'll be in a better place. So I'm just saying, you know, put the collateral down. Well, why should I ask someone to give you a loan if you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is? You want to put someone else's money where your mouth is. So I've become much tougher on that. And I found it works. So I don't know. You know, I think we're very quick to assume someone has nothing. But most people have something. Most people do have things they could give as collateral. Even if they don't have the money, they have things that are precious to them. Last month, someone called me up that he has investments in gold and silver. He has bars of gold and silver, and he thinks it's criminal. He should sell them right now because he thinks it's going to shoot up. And he only needs to finish off the month, and in a month he'll be better off. So I said to him, no problem. I'll arrange for you a loan, but we're signing a contract that you're giving your gold bar for that $2,000, and the person has a right. He's giving you 3 months to pay it back. You're saying in 1 month you'll pay it back. He'll give you 3 months to pay it back. But if at the end of 3 months you didn't pay it back, he's allowed to sell your gold bar. You won't see it again, meaning it's collateral that he's allowed to sell. You said in 1 month you could pay it back. He'll give you 3 months. But at the end of 3 months, if you didn't pay it back, then the bar is his. He never came for the loan. Mm-hmm. Why? I have no idea what his intentions were. Right? Okay, so I don't understand. He's telling me the bank is going to come chasing him after and take his house away. So for $2,000, a gold bar, you know, that's, you know, for that he's not willing to take the loan. He's calling me and he's bawling over the phone and he's yelling and saying, you know, I'm going to lose my house. So I said, no problem. And he's saying how it's ridiculous he should have to sell his gold because in a month he'll be better off. So I said, fine, don't sell your gold. Just give it as collateral. Nope. Never showed up. We're still friends. We still talk. Didn't show up. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, the facts keep proving to me how correct this approach is. Yeah.
This guy was on his way out of school, and he asked me to borrow a bag from me so he could pack up his stuff. He's like, "You'll get it back in a week, I swear." He left. Never saw the bag again.
But if you would have taken his passport, you would have seen the bag again. And it doesn't cost money. People feel uncomfortable,
exactly
but
it's... Talking about. Ironically, like I needed his passport. He was going. He was flying.
Okay. I've learned the hard way. Yeah.
The example that you gave with the $2 and the pen thing, though, like, I mean, if it's someone that you don't know, if a complete stranger comes up to you, or comes up to anybody, take anyone you know out of the equation here, and they say, okay, give me your $2, like, the guy that's borrowing the pen, like, he might see, okay, like, a pen is, like, not worth so much,
So you know what he said to me when he gave it to me? He opened up his $2 and he said, my credit cards are in here too, so please be careful. Why? Because he's a front person seeing me sitting there learning. I don't look like I'm running anywhere. You know, I'm also sitting there. And it's not like he's running off. He sees me. I'm not going anywhere. Okay. He sees where I am. I see where he is. But we both know that I might end up going to buy, you know, my number might come up. His number might come up. If I have his $2, he's going to see it that I don't walk out without getting my pen back. Very good. You know, he could have said no and gone to the next guy and taken a pen. He didn't. He put his $2 in my hand and just said, be careful because my credit cards are here too.
That was the exact opposite direction I would imagine going.
But remember, when he's asking you for the pen, he's asking you to put trust in him. It's like when I went to buy a Srogim 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember if you were there, and the guy said to me, honest to goodness, these are kosher Srogim. Why don't you trust me? And I said to him, no problem, I'll take a set and I'll pay you back, I'll pay you for it tomorrow. So he said, no. I said, why? Honest to goodness, why don't you trust me? Right? I'm supposed to trust him that everything he's telling me is true. So why doesn't he trust me that I'll be back tomorrow to pay? All I've done is flip the situation. It's like when a taxi driver, your bill comes out to 30 shekel and 20 agurot. So he makes it 31 shekel. Or so I say, okay, give me back 30 shekel. Give me back the full change to 30 shekel. And he says, no, you owe me the 20 agurot. So I say, that's right. But you wanted to take an extra 80 from me. So instead of taking 80 from me, let's take 20 from you. Doesn't that make more sense? Huh?
Yes, but I'm saying, like, I'm wondering, like, in terms of, like, trying to, like, find the balance of what is fair collateral to you. Like, if he forgot to, like, I don't know, like, if he gave you, like, 2 shekel or something like that, and then you, like, to the pen, and he gets the 2 shekel.
Right,
like,
but then people feel bad. Through that zoot, they realize you're not walking off with it. You just want to ensure you're getting it back. This guy over here, he left when he took the stapler. But he understood, hey, the guy's right. How many times do I... You know how many staplers I bought for the Machon and never got back? And I had a sign on it saying, this belongs to the English department and may not be placed anywhere else. Didn't help me.
I can see that, but I'm wondering, like, if you ask for, like, the value of it, like, because, like, I mean...
Then a person feels bad. Then a person feels bad.
But, like, this identity theft, like, selling passports to the Mexicans coming over the border, and all of a sudden Juan is... You know, George, and he's got himself a little passport. Like, you know, like the value can be like a.
That's true. So you figure out what works for you. I've found that, you know, the people who are coming and asking you to borrow something usually trust you. They're not thinking you're going to steal their identity. I respect it if they don't want to give me a tudat zuh. Give me something else. No problem. Give me your watch. You want the stapler? Give me your watch. No problem. What's the problem? You're saying you'll bring it back in a minute. You know how many things I lent that people said they'd bring back in a minute and I never got back?
I'm just trying to think, like, if I went out to someone I didn't know, I just wanted to borrow a staple for 2 seconds, I think, and a staple, and the actual staple that I'd be putting into the paper.
That's not the point.
Half an agar, and then, like, come over, maybe this guy's going to say, actually, you know what, I like the watch more, keep the staple.
Fine,
I mean?
So don't borrow my stapler, no problem. You don't have to borrow me. I didn't come to him, he came to me. Yeah.
I went back to the U.S. and I decided that my brother had lent one of you know, something in my possession worth $100. You know, he lent it to my friend, or you know, his friend, right? And so his friend's like, you know, yeah, I never got this, you know, object from you. You know, he's like, I never got it at all. And my brother's like, oh no, I lent it to you. He's like, nope, never got it, and I never saw it again.
Right.
The collateral thing is really genius when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me years to come up with it, but I learned it in an Avat Chesed. The Chafetz Chaim says it earlier in the book. He says people end up not lending their stuff because they don't get it back. You guys probably know this. You lend your lawnmower, you lend your shares, you lend your drill, you lend your hammer, and you don't have them back. We lent out a lot of things that then you go searching, who did I lend it last to? I had a saw I lent out. I would always lend it out. Today, I lend it out. Leave me your tudat zuh, then buy out. Take it for 2 weeks. I don't mind. You're going to discover you need your tudat zuh back sooner than I'm going to need the saw back.
That's my drawer and I never take it out.
Legally, you're supposed to have it on you at all times.
I'm a driver's license.
Okay. So from you, I'll have to take the license, yeah.
Also, like, some things where you have, like, comes, like, in pieces, say. Like, I've lent to, like, hair clippers.
Right.
Like, all the different sizes and everything like that. But sometimes, like, how would the collateral thing work? If I took collateral or something like that, the person brought it back, but some of the pieces were missing, and one of the pieces had broken.
It's a tough question. Practically, they have to replace it.
So
but
you can hold on to the collateral until they replace the whole thing?
Here, it's a more practical question than a halachic question, meaning what kind of reputation will you get in that? Meaning, do you want to fight a person on something just because you're right? That's where it gets complicated. Technically, he's wrong. He should offer. He should realize that he lost that piece or broke that piece. He has to replace it, which is another thing. We've had that too, where you lend something out and you get it back broken, and the person doesn't even tell you. You know, they give it back and they make believe like everything's okay. And you suddenly start using it. And you say, hey, I had that happen to me just last week. This is a recurring theme, right? But then you run into a problem where the question is practically how you're going to do it, not halachically. Halachically, you're in the right. You can say, I'm sorry, you know, there were these number of clips. I see one broke by you, I understand that. Please replace it so I can give you back your collateral. You could say that. Just realize that the other side might not understand it. The fact that you're right doesn't mean they'll understand you.
You can't give it out to anyone else. Until it's repaired.
You're right. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. It's a practical question.
So how would that affect your... If you tell that person, you're giving this back to me broken, I'm no longer positioned to give it to help anyone else just as I helped you. So he's not going to see it as, you're really being stingy and whatever. He said, oh, someone else could will need this. And
fine. Again, it's practical consideration. It's not a lot of consideration.
But is it like something that you like? That you would see worthwhile in something like that to make a fuss about?
The question is what you gain and what you lose. Again, it's a practical consideration. You have to gauge in each scenario, you know. They borrowed your car and they bashed up the left side, so go fix that, you know. It really depends on, you know, each case, whether it's worth the hassle.
Okay. I don't think you need to go as far as Abba says it. I mean, this concept is alluded in the Torah. When they say, when you have someone's jacket as collateral not to keep it during the night when it's cold and you need it.
Yeah.
Now that we're moving, we're trying to sell our mazgan to people that are going to switch us out of this apartment. And the people that wanted to switch us out are like, well, I think husband's a soldier and like, we don't have a lot of money. Should we pay you in payments? And like, for me, like, my wife and I would like love to help be the ones to help them out with that, but like, we're doing the calculations, it's going to be cost a lot of money to move, we're going to have to buy some more things, kilo that we can't without a new apartment and such. And so we did the calculations and we came to the conclusion that we need all the money for the Muscon, like when they buy it, when it transfers to the possession, because if we don't get that money, we won't be able to afford to move. And so I know it's a real, a lot of pressure to give somebody a loan and let somebody pay you back in payments and stuff, but essentially like conclusion that they're gonna have to get the loan from somebody else, like this.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
You get the loan to pay you in full,
and
they can pay the other person.
Yeah. So we've been telling them, so that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So for person to go bars and whatever, I mean, the reason they didn't get back to you could be because you could easily find somebody else who doesn't want collateral. The other thing was about the pen and the $2,000 also bothering me. I mean, let's put it even in a different context. If it was a chiloni person comes up to you asking for your pen and you say, all right, fine, but give me a $2,000. I mean, that's, in my opinion, almost possibly bordering on chilul Hashem in a way, because it seems, I believe that most people would think that kind of measure for a pen would be unreasonable, as in, it's a reasonable chance that the person will give you back your pen. And if they don't give back your pen, okay, it's 20 shekels or whatever, but you have to give some trust to people. Just as some example, maybe for my thing. So, I rent out violence to people. And I did a calculation once, and I thought, you know, should I take collateral for the violence? Should I take a security check? Should I take a deposit in cash to give back to them, or whatever? And I thought, I mean, and there's a fair chance that something could get broken as well. And it's a problem. If something gets broken, it's a real problem. And then I thought about it for a second. I thought, hang on, I'm taking from them the rental. On top of that, they're taking from me the lessons. Most people I know don't like to do all this kind of depositing, security, collateral, whatever stuff. I made a calculation that after about 3 violin lessons, they've covered the cost of a violin anyway. If I lose even one pupil just from them saying they're not interested in those conditions, I would lose more than that, because after a month I've got more money from the lessons. So I made a calculation that a reasonable person, if something breaks, will probably repair it or replace it or whatever. And if there's a chance that maybe something happens and someone says, that's it, I'm not paying, they probably at least paid half the price of the violin anyway, and then I take a loss of half the price. And it happened to me now, actually. The first time it's ever happened, and the person phoned, they said, a kid came into the house, the bow is broken in half. Seriously, I saw it yesterday for the first time. The bow is